Take your Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18, and keep them open. We're going to read several verses, but I'm going to kind of cover a little bit of extra territory in a short amount of time here. Numbers chapter 18, we're going to read the first seven verses together. Numbers 18, this is the 27th lesson on the life of Moses. Hard to believe we've been at it that long. We're fixing to get into some really fun stuff. Some of it is a little bit just informational, but some of this is going to be really exciting to you. And tonight will be one of those a little bit informational, a little bit new, maybe help you get you a little understanding of why some of the things were as they were, and this will help you. Numbers chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. The Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. They shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and altar, neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And you shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel to you. They are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle to the congregation. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office. For everything of thine altar and within the veil ye shall serve, I have given you your priest's office unto you as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Now, we'll come back to this in a moment. Let me bring you up to speed of where we are. In Numbers chapter 17, you have a very strange story. If you remember, after Korah, we talked about last week, he decided that he was going to lift himself up and go against Moses and Aaron, and he led people against it, and Korah and his family, and those that led in the rebellion were killed. People took sides, and 14,700 others died in that. God stayed the plague, and people were wondering who then should be the leadership of the tabernacle. See, people were trying to just jump in, and it hadn't been designated who, just one person at a time here. And God said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. Chapter 17 chooses who that's going to be. God says, I want you to take every person, a representative, the leader of each tribe, write their name on a rod and put it in the tabernacle. And in the morning, whose rod was budded and blossoming, that would be the tribe to take care of all the Levitical duties, all of the priestly duties. Now, that you have to understand, their work was going to be the setup, the tear down, the moving of, the service of, and all the things that are related to the tabernacle. That was going to be the job of that tribe. And so in chapter 17, you find out, and they said for Levi, we want Aaron to put his name on there, since he had been kind of representing the Levites in all of this. And in the morning, Moses went in, and it's very unique. The Bible says that Moses looked in, there was one rod, it was full of branches, it was full of buds, it was full of blossoms, and had almonds on it. All in one night. It was an olive piece of wood, or not olive, an almond. It was an almond branch. And it had budded, it had put branches on it, it had blossoms, and it actually had almond nuts on it. And it made it very clear that Aaron was supposed to be the one representing Levi, and the Levites were going to be the ones to care for the tabernacle. Now, All of that to show that nobody else then were to do the priestly duties or to do the sacrifices like Korah had raised up against to do and that type of thing. Now, God did all this to stop the murmuring of the Jews. Everybody didn't have the ability to grow up and be big boys and big girls and take turns and do what they were supposed to do. So God said, okay, I'm going to choose somebody, and then nobody else can do it but them. And if anybody else steps in to do it, I'll kill you. That'll be your problem. And that's how it worked. Now, here in chapter 18, we see God giving to Moses to give to the Levites. We would use the word charge or the direction, the instructions for the Levites and what they were supposed to do. They were going to be giving up their secular jobs, their regular jobs, to take care of nothing but the work of God in the tabernacle. That was going to be their full-time work. Now, it'd be very similar to somebody nowadays, like myself, my wife. We volunteered to go into the ministry, and we gave up a secular career or secular careers to do nothing but the work of God. It would be very similar to that, other than if you were born into the tribe of Levi, you didn't have a choice. That's what you did. That's what you were born into. Now, they were chosen to give their lives to serve the Lord, serve God's people, and serve God's house. And it was going to stop the complaints about who was the spiritual ones and why are these people special? Because God chose them, that's why, period. And that's all they had to worry about. Now, tonight, we're going to see how God planned and organized all of his work. I'm going to make this statement. It's similar with the church today, but notice something. The church is not the tabernacle. The church is not the temple. There are some things that are similar about it, but they're not the same. matter of fact, I'll show you later that your body is the temple or the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit of God. This is more in reference to you than it is the church. Now, let me help you tonight, and I'll jump right into this. I think it'll help you understand. Number one, the tabernacle was a temporary, movable structure, but it was the center for all of the Jews. Let me see here. I think I got some juice here. The tabernacle was placed and situated in the middle. How many of you know what a wagon wheel looks like? All right, and that hub. That hub would be where the Levites and the tabernacle were. And you had 11 spokes that went off of that, and that is where all the tribes of Israel stationed around. And everything, as it moved very similar to a wagon wheel, other than it didn't go in circles. It all moved as the tabernacle moved. Everybody moved with it. You don't move a wheel spoke by spoke. You move a wheel by pushing the hub. Your axle on your car is attached to the hub. And as that moves, everything else follows suit. So it was the center of all activity. It was the hub, so to speak. It was where all the information, all of the news came from. And it wasn't CNN, ABC, CBS, or any of the other sewer pits. It was news from God and God's man. It was where the center of the cloud by day and the fire by night would hover. As that would move, people would start moving with it. Those that were on that side of it would see it coming towards them. They would pick up and they would start moving. They would have been told it's time to get ready to move, and then they would see it move and they would follow to it. And where it stopped, they would stop underneath it as in place as they were before. But you couldn't just pick up the tabernacle. It all had to be dismantled, had to be carried a certain way, had to be carried upon, and the furniture had to be carried upon the shoulders of men, different things. And they had to do it in a certain way. So the Levites were in charge of all that. Now, it was, the whole nation moved as it moved. It was, they followed God's words to move. Now, can I tell you something? It'd be very wise of us to make the church the center of our family, center of our lives. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And not just the church, but God is to be the center of our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What, verse number 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple, or the permanent tabernacle, so to speak, of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible says that your body and your spirit is God's.
Yes, sir.
Now, watch this. That leaves what part of your body and your spirit that's, or the Trinity that you are, that's not necessarily His?
Your soul.
That's your soul. That's your personality. God didn't want you necessarily to, He doesn't overtake, God didn't come down and change Brother Stoltz's personality. He's to adapt his personality to what God wants, but it doesn't mean we're supposed to be robots. We don't lose our personality. I've known Brother Stoltz and the Lopezes for a good night over 30 years. I'm the same personality. Now, there's more of me than there was 30 years ago. I've learned a lot in 30 years, but I'm still just as ornery as I used to be. I've calmed down a little bit, and Mung's very glad. But my body is God's. My spirit was born again by God, but my personality is me. God did not ask me to be Joe Boyd. Thank God. I couldn't be. God didn't ask me to be Lee Robertson. God didn't ask me to be Lester Roloff. I'm probably more like that in personality. God didn't ask me to be Jack Hiles. God didn't ask me to be Billy Sunday. You say, why? Because I'm me. That's my individuality. So my body is God's. That's where God dwells with the Holy Spirit because I was born again. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So He owns my spirit. He owns my body. It's my job as a personality to follow what He said. Everybody got that? All right, here we go. So the tabernacle was temporary. It was movable. It didn't stay in one place. As they moved around in the wilderness for 40 years, they followed that everywhere they went. And it was the hub. Everything was pointed right into it as like the center of town instead of a square. It would have been like DuPont Circle is in D.C. It was a center there, and everything kind of came into it from an angle, and it was wedges of a pie all the way around. Talk food, you'll understand, amen? It was like the middle of a pizza, fellas. It was that middle part right there, amen? And the wedges were the individual tribes. Now, for you, it would have only been two tribes, your half and the family's half. But that's just the way that works. So you have to understand that it was a temporary structure. It was tented. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, you find out that it was a giant tent. And it was actually two tents. You had the tented walls around the courtyard. Then you had the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and the actual structure of the tabernacle. That was a tent as well. Different colors. And then a real high fence basically around the outside and the tent in the middle. And that's how it all worked. They had to put it up. They had to take it down. They had to make sure it was secure, able to withstand all the winds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody got that? All right, here we go. Number two, the Levites were in charge of all of the work of the tabernacle. Now, I am very confident I did not list near half of what they did, because I didn't break these down into many different areas. But I think I ended up with about 14, 15, 16 different things here, at least major things, and I'll show you how it broke down. And you have to understand, they're doing this for millions of people. There were tens of thousands of Levites who were serving millions of people. It wasn't just one little church. It was serving an entire nation of people. So when you think about that, realize the immensity of everything. And I'll show you what I mean. They had to care for the setup and the takedown and the moving of that tabernacle. Can you imagine 10-foot high tented walls? Setting them up, putting them down, make sure they're not going to fall down in the wind. Then setting up the actual structure, the tent for the actual tabernacle itself. And it had a veil in between the holy place and the holy of holies. You had the furniture that went with it. They had to take care of cleaning it, making sure everything was spotless all the time in the desert. Imagine a snowstorm kicking up. They have to clean it, the wind blowing things. They had to make sure that it was pristine and clean. They had to care for all the utensils needed for sacrificing. I'm talking about the knives, the bowls, all of the hooks that they used for the meat. How many families would be involved in millions of people? And the sacrifices. We're not talking about just a ceremonial sacrifice once every couple weeks. It was nonstop. Imagine how many knives needed sharpened. Imagine how many knives needed to be remade. And utensils that needed to be remade. They had snuffers for the candles and the candlesticks. And they had different things, the tongs for the altars and all the different things. And as crazy as this sounds, even the great work that was in the actual sacrifice pit for the burnt sacrifices, after a while, metal will break down with that kind of heat and that kind of burning. So they had to replace all that, be building that, keeping up with that, etc., etc. They had to take care of all the wood for the sacrifices. Amen, Brother Barnes? Non-stop chainsawing. Yeah, buddy. That's a lot of wood to burn up all of the sacrifices, as well as this. They had to have the coals for the altar of incense. And those burnt 24/7. They had to do all the butchering of the sacrifices. They had to slit the animals' throats or wring the necks. They had to drain the blood. They had to get rid of the blood. Then they also had to cut the entrails out. I'm trying to not be gross. Field dress it. They had to take the insides out before they could be sacrificed. Wash it all. Then they had to dispose of all those entrails in a place not near the tabernacle. Well, you're not going to go throw it in your neighbor's backyard. There was probably a constant flow of people working to dig pits to throw guts in. Now think about it. There was a certain way the Levites were fed by those sacrifices. That's how everybody in the tribe of Levi was fed. So there were people that had to butcher those. There were people that had, and there were certain instructions on how and what parts of it they could eat and could not eat. And they had to make sure that it was done and done right. They had to distribute the food to everybody from the offerings and the sacrifices. There had to be a place for everybody that was of the tribe of Levi to come and get the food that they needed every day. And that was from the sacrifices, the tithes, and the offerings and sacrifices of the people. They had to make the oils for the incense and for the candles. They had to clean all of the priestly garments. That's not a job I would want. They had to make sure everything was just right. They had to make sure that all of those things were sewn and in good order. Make sure nothing was frayed and taking care of those. They had to bake bread daily. There was 12 loaves of bread that had to be put into the tabernacle every day, changed out once a day for the service of the tabernacle. They had to keep I got ahead of myself on that one. They had to care for the livestock that was brought in until it was sacrificed. Now think about this. If 1,000 people brought animals to be sacrificed in a day, they didn't get 1,000 of them done. I've butchered 5 deer in one day, and that's enough to kill any human being. Seriously. They didn't do thousands a day. So they had to keep them alive until they could do it as they were supposed to do. So somebody had to take care of feeding them, watering them, taking care of the exhaust, taking care of making sure that they were brought, tagged, done the right way for the right purpose. Because you could bring the same animal for several different types of sacrifice. So they had to be stationed in such a way to where they knew what they were going to do with that animal. They had to store the perishable foods, the grains and all the different fruits and different things. Those were brought as offerings and sacrifices as well. They did the counseling and cared for the issues of the law of the people. When Wiley had troubles with Joe, they would go and the Levites would settle those matters. And if they couldn't, then it would go farther up to the priesthood. But the Levites cared for enforcing the civil laws and even some of the moral laws of the people. They cared for the health issues and the restoration of the people. There were certain things that if somebody got leprosy or thought they had leprosy, they had to be brought to the priest. He had to look at it, and there were tests and different things that he would do if somebody was caught, they thought, cheating in adultery or fornication. They were brought, and the priest, the Levites, there was a certain ritual they went through, and by the reaction to that ritual, they found out whether the person was clean or not. Many, many, many different things like that. They took care of receiving the tithes and the offerings of the people and managing it. They performed all the formal sacrifices and offerings for the people and scheduled them. That's just the beginning of it. And think about this, that's for millions of people. You're not talking about even hundreds or thousands, millions. That would be like the entire city of Chicago or the entire downtown LA area. And you had to take care of every bit of that for all of those people for 40 years. It was massive. It was huge. It was not an easy task. And there were thousands of them doing it. But even at that, it was still heavy and multiplied on them. So as part of the job of the Levites was to do all of that work. There's more to it than getting up and blowing your stack 3 days a week. There's more to my job than what you see right here. You take the phone calls from the banks. You go to the bank. You deal. And by the way, God blessed us today. We got a $5,900 blessing for the church today. Somebody donated some shares of stock to the church, and we were able to trade them off and got $5,900 for them, paid for the bond that we're going to have, plus extras. Amen? And God took care of it. Work out some of those kind of deals. Take care of going to the hospitals and visiting sick people and taking care of folks that have issues. The phone call that I got yesterday while I was painting in my living room and literally trying to save somebody's life, trying to keep somebody from literally killing themselves and killing somebody else on purpose. And sitting on the phone trying to coach somebody how to do this with a paint roller in one hand and a phone in the other. Say, what'd you do? I quit painting for a little while because it was getting intense. Had to help them. I could go on and on and on and on and on. And by the way, the church is different in some ways, but the job of the pastor is much the same as this, the work of God. Those are just some of the areas. Somebody had to make sure it was all clean. Guess who has to make sure the buildings get cleaned around here? Guess who has to make sure that everything gets cared for, the bills get paid, and all the things that need done around here. The songs get picked out, and the pianist and the song leader knows what songs to sing. By the way, I'm glad, Kirsten, you've learned how to play verse two of some of those songs, not just the first and last verse. All right, you do pretty well. I'm trying to teach Brother Stoltz how to sing them, but she does better than you do. All of those kinds of things that need to take place, making sure that just so many things. So the job of the priesthood was bigger than just getting up and having a ceremony and walking away. The Levites did an awful lot of work that nobody thinks about. Number three, and I'll finish up with this, and I really believe I'm going to get you out of here a little extra early. You're going to be happy with me. Number three, the tithes and the offerings sustained the tabernacle and the Levites. Look at verse number 11. I'm going to show you some words here that may help you. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift. Notice the word offering. Okay? That doesn't say tithe, does it? That's an offering. That's over and above the tithe. With all the wave offerings of the children of Israel, I have given them unto thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever, for everyone that's clean in the house shall eat of it. In other words, the Levites were able to eat of the heave offering. Look at verse 12. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the fruit, first fruits of them which shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. Huh. Now some of that is tithe. The best of, that's not tithe. I mean, that is sacrifices. That is offering. The best is a quality. Now watch this. Verse 13. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land. Now that's tithe. The first fruits. Which shall bring unto the Lord shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything that is devoted in Israel shall be thine. I'm going to stop right there. And later in the chapter, verse number 24, you can look at verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So you see the word tithe, you see the word first fruits, you see the word offering, you see the word best of. Now let me help you with this. The word tithe means more than just 10%. It means first 10. It literally means the first 10% of all that you increase is God's. I sold my elliptical this last week. I don't have any place to store it for the 6 or 8 months they're going to be building my house. So I decided it's easier to sell it. I can use the money now. I'll buy another one later. But I sold it. I already paid for it a long time ago. But I tithed off the money I made off of that. I've sold a couple other things. We have tithed off of that money. When I sell my house, I'm going to tithe on the profit of my house. You say, why? Because that's my increase. That's an increase. And God said it should be the first 10. That means before Uncle Sam takes his grubby little paws and sticks his hands, feet, mouth, and everything else into it. You're to tithe on the first fruits of all your increase. I shot deer this year. You know, I gave away more than 10% of my deer. You say, why? Because I believe in tithing on it. I gave it to folks that needed it here in the church. Now, the word tithe is the word quantity. It didn't have to be the best of anything. Now, the word offering or the word sacrifice is a quality word. A sacrifice or an offering, you had to give the best of what you had. A tithe, if a man had 100 cattle, first one that came through the gate, you come over here, next nine go through. Number 11, you come over here, next nine go through. Number 21, you come through here, and on and on. Didn't matter which one it was.
Didn't matter which gender. Didn't matter if it had three legs. Didn't matter if it had all its teeth. Didn't matter if it was an old decrepit one. It was the first of the ten as they came through. But if you were going to bring a sacrifice, you had to put it up and make sure there was no blemish, had all its teeth, couldn't be blind, couldn't have any scars on it. It had to be the best of what you have. A sacrifice was a quality. You were going to give the very best of what you had. And it couldn't be given in place of your tithe. It was over and above your tithe. The tithe was the first ten. Sacrifice, you pulled out the best that you had and gave it. That was the difference between a tithe and an offering. A tithe is required. Offerings weren't necessarily required. Now, there were some things, there were sacrifices and offerings that you could bring, and there were times you should bring. That's why in Malachi chapter 3, it says, "Wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and in offerings?" Sometimes God wants us to give a little more. I don't mean this in a wrong way. If this is bragging, please forgive me, but my wife and I quit tithing a long time ago. We give far more than tithe. we give a lot more than tithe. You say, why? Because we enjoy giving to God and watching God take care of the rest. And God blesses for that. I've watched God take care of us in ways in the last couple of weeks. It's unbelievable. You say, why? I really believe it's because we tithed. Even when it was hard. And we gave above our tithe. One of my children just this last week got a huge blessing. And I said, son, I said, God does that because he blesses people that tithe. He said, Dad, you've never asked me if I do. I said, I can tell by the blessing that it was. He said, you're right, I do. And he said, I give more than my tithe. I said, I can tell because that's why God's blessing. That's how God works. And I don't mean you should quit tithing, but tithing ought to be a very minimal thing to you. That's what I meant by saying that. I didn't stop tithing, just so you know. We've just decided we're going to give far more than that. Years and years and years and years and years and years ago, early in our ministry, we were at a church and I was challenged. The church needed some extra funds for a building program they were in. We decided to up our tithe by 2%. We had so much fun that year, we upped it again the next year. We've been upping it just about every year. It's amazing what God can do. It is amazing what God can do. Now, offerings and sacrifices were above the tithe, not in place. And God's plan is for us to do the same today. God's plan for God's work is tithes and offerings. Can I tell you something? If we'll just obey, God will take care of the rest. If we need to do a little more, we do a little more. I was joking with somebody today, and they actually said, well, preacher, I'll give up my cigarette money, and we'll just give it to the church. And they were joking with me. I said, I'm not sure I'm going to go that far. Now, they don't smoke, neither do I. My wife dips every once in a while, but but may I say this, you know, every once in a while it doesn't hurt us to maybe knock off the extra coffees and give it to God instead of going getting coffee every day. Once a week I treat myself if I've got it. Say, what'd you do with the money? Gave it to the church. Gave it to God. Held on to it. Say, well, preacher, you cut your salary. Yeah, I did. I cut it again if I need to. I just believe and trust in God. God made it to where not just anybody could go do that work. Let me make a statement here. I may get hung for saying it. Wouldn't be the first, won't be the last. I don't believe every person that grows up in church, our kids, need to go into the ministry full time. I believe we'll have a higher percentage that will.
But it doesn't mean if they don't go off and go to Bible college and become preachers or preachers' wives that they're not right with God. I don't believe that. The ministry today, you're called into it. And if you're not called into it, don't go into it. Yes, it'll eat you up and you'll get bitter with God and you'll do more damage than good. That's right. I have no problem saying that. Everybody doing all right? But I can look at a boy like my son, Jeff. He wasn't going to be into the ministry full time. And yet he's working a bus route, preaching junior church about every 2 or 3 weeks. The kid that would never get up and talk in front of anybody, and I am never going to preach, Dad. I'm never going to do that. God doesn't want me to do that. He's preaching junior church. Don't tell him that. Say, what was that? He fell in love with God doing what God wanted, and he's having the time of his life. Solid layman. I got a text from Brother Fugit this week. He said, man, I wished I had 100 of him. I said, I ain't having 99 more. Forget it, Doc. He laughed. Now, wait a minute. How could I be upset? How could I be upset? I'm proud of Josh and Ruth Ann. I talked to his pastor this week. And I thanked his pastor for hiring and allowing Josh a place to serve God. And he said, I couldn't do it without him, preacher. I said, just feed him a bale of hay. He's good for another 100 miles. I said, just keep throwing the hay out. He'll keep working. And Josh texted me this morning all wound up. He got a new job description, new job promotion. He's going to be the junior director for the church starting in January, and he's going to be able to help train parents for the young people. And I mean, it just, he's all wound up about this. He and Ruth Ann, I'm excited for him. New duties on top of what he's already got, coaching basketball and teaching in the school and everything else. Can I tell you something? It's fun to see him serve God, whether they're in it full time or as a layman. I'm as excited for both of them. You see, but when it came to doing the priestly duties, not everybody was supposed to do it. You want to know why Saul got in trouble, King Saul? Because he did Samuel's job. He gave the sacrifices. He did the sacrificing. Somebody said, Samuel won't be here. We got to sacrifice these things. He said, well, he's not around. I'll do it. It wasn't Saul's job to do it. You're going to see people in the ministry, in church, every once in a while, they're going to get contrary. They think they have more power than they have. And when the preacher knocks them down and they walk away, you're going to say, what happened? Sometimes they try to lift themselves up above where they should be, and they just can't take it anymore. I'm not saying that happens when somebody leaves, but every once in a while, they just get crossed that way. They think they know more. Hate to disappoint you. They never pastored. They don't know. So full-time work were for the Levites. They were to take care of the work of the church. Everybody got that? So that's what the job of the Levites were. God chose the Levites through Aaron because his father, he was from the tribe of Levi. And by the way, that's why in today's world, when Jesus was our high priest, he came from the tribe of Judah. That's why anybody following the Levitical priesthood today is not following the Bible, because Jesus was from Judah, not Levi. That's why Jesus did away with the priesthood, did away with the temple and the tabernacle, and started the church. Because he was a fulfillment of all those things. He gave the church a commission. Did you know that soul winning is not the work of the church staff or just the preacher? It's the work of every Christian.
Yes, sir.
That's something we all can do. Brother Joe preaching in junior church, that's something not everybody could preach in junior church, but he's doing his part of the Lord's work. But ask Brother Joe if he wants to pastor this church. He doesn't have any hair left to pull out. There's not even enough there to turn white anymore. Now, wait a minute. We can do God's work as part of the Great Commission, but it doesn't mean that Brother Joe's supposed to stand up in church and say, well, I disagree with the preacher on this, and I think we ought to do this, and I'm taking control of this because I'm a deacon. The job of the deacons was to help the preacher serve the people.
Right.
Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Just because the state requires and the government requires some deacons and trustees for official business doesn't mean they're supposed to even run it. They're supposed to see it and understand it and help me make decisions with it. But I can't get six guys together to go to the bank every time I got to go to the bank and talk to the bank. Six heads is a monster, just so you know. Anything with more than one head's a monster. Somebody asked my wife this week the dumbest of questions. If Siamese twins got married, would the man who married them be guilty of polygamy? I thought to myself, how stupid can somebody be to ask a question that ridiculous? I'm sorry, conjoined twins, would the man that marries them be guilty of polygamy? I don't know, go ask God. If you're that worried about it. And the funny thing was, it wasn't even a man that asked that. I thought, what are you worried about? You say, did you answer it? No, I didn't. You say, well, what's the answer? Ask God. I don't know. You know, that's a two-for-one deal, and I'm not sure you'd want to do that. You know, people can think of some of the craziest things Brother Stoltz was saying about some guy that stopped him in the store the night before church and was talking about, have you heard of Mother God?
God the Mother.
God the Mother. Oh, bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. People are nuts.
Amen.
I mean, totally, insanely nuts. Priesthood, Levites. God chose them to do the work, showed you what some of the work was that they did, and you can imagine what it was like. It wasn't just all spit and polish and like you see at the Catholic Church and the guy getting up and doing this and splashing the water and burning the incense pots and going to the bar and getting drunk afterwards. It was a little bit more than that in the priesthood. Every head bowed, every eye closed.